Dude, get that dog out, man.
It's insane, man. That passion last night, dude. It was J-Dub. It was Shay. It was all the above. It was insane. It was beautiful.
It's beautiful, man. The joy of the game, the joy of playing freely and having ball movement and everybody contributing and the role players stepping up and your stars playing like stars and the whole NBA world stopping and taking notice at what we've been seeing all goddamn season long. But now nobody can deny it. You can say what you want about youth, but there's nothing that stops a team that's completely together and plays as one unit. And that's what we're seeing, and it's an incredible thing to watch. We could point out so many plays that were just like an orchestra of beauty, like you're watching Fantasia, the original one, not that bullshit 2001. You know what I mean? And it's just like, that's what we're watching out on the court.
Yeah, dude.
The most amazing communication and just camaraderie. It bleeds over to everything we do. And it's the most exciting time ever, really. And man, shout out to the crowd. I can't wait till we get another OKC playoff game. It might be next series. Who knows? We'll see what happens. But I want to say a special shout out to anybody who refuses to sit down. I'd like to see more fans stand up all game. Hey, this is the playoffs, guys. We can do this. I know we'll do it for an elimination game. We did it. Some guys did it out there for the fourth quarter. But hey, people want behind you. They want to see. Make them stand up too, baby. Let's do it. Let's get everybody on their feet all game. I love it, baby. What's up, Dave? Sorry I went on that rant to start out.
No, it's good, man. I just started thinking about the beginning of the game and how it all started out. Like, Jonas Valanciunas is a total dildo, and I am so glad he angered Chet in the beginning, because the reality of the situation was Chet needed a little fire under him, and we saw what happens when you put a little fire under Chet. And I got to say, man, is when he started going toe-to-toe with Jonas, it was truly spectacular, because Jonas had, like, what, 15 points in the first quarter, and so did Chet, or 14 points or whatever. Those guys scored almost 30 points combined in the first quarter, and right. It was something that was going back and forth, and it was just nice, because I wrote Mark, I said, anything your center can do, I can do better, and that's how I felt all night, is because Chet was just at a different level.
Yeah, dude, it was the first 13 points of the game, I think, went to Jonas in the post, and it was like a serious effort by the Pelicans to establish that. And by the end of the first quarter, Chet had outplayed Jonas, and I felt like he might not be able to stay on the court. Let's talk about that game plan, because it felt like the Pelicans came in and they really wanted to establish Valanciunas in the post, and they kept going to him. Was like, yeah, it's working right now, but at the cost of what? Because now your guards are out of rhythm, and really, those guards, you know, Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, CJ McCollum, Brandon Ingram, these guys who can play off the bounce and can really knock down shots. These are the true strength of the team. And what I noticed sure. In that game was it really took them out of the rhythm to get the ball into Jonas in the post and just be like, go score, go score. I know that they were trying to pick on Chet, but that took them out of the rhythm. And by the fourth quarter, Chet was standing up to Valanciunas and blocking his shot after taking bump after bump after bump. And he really looked like he gained a lot of strength throughout the course of the game. So what do you think about that strategy overall for the Pelicans?
Yeah, Coach Green did it. I love the old school train of thought. Coach Green did a great job pulling up that idea of we're going to make them pay. If Chet doesn't go off and score as many points as he did in the first quarter, it would have been a different first quarter than we had. But when Chet got woken up, and that's the difference between a player that can handle pressure like Chet can, is they recognize that they're getting the fuck kicked out of them. So what do they have to do? They have to do something special. They have to step up. And Chet just three after three after three, drive to the hole, get to the rack, get an offensive board. Like, it was like he realized, like, Jonas is going to outplay me at this moment. And what I have to do is I have to make the mismatches work for me. And Chet would go set screens, make Jonas go off of the screen, and then all of a sudden Chet's sitting there with a guard on him, and Jonas has to help out so Chet would be able to pass the ball. It was a masterful job by Sam Presti, by Coach D, because if you think about what Coach D did here, Coach D recognized that Jonas was going to kick his ass. So he said, in order to get, so Jonas doesn't kick our ass every minute in this game, we're going to have to make it so that Jonas is a player that is such a liability on defense that they have to pull him out because he's too much of a liability. And they got to put Larry Nance in the game. So that's exactly what happened. We spread the ball out. We got the guys driving to the hole. We made it so that Jonas had to play on the perimeter. And immediately his 15 or, you know, 13 straight points in the first quarter didn't mean shit. It's because Coach D is taking this offense and defensive minded sets that are causing other teams to have issues, and nobody has answers for them. Because everybody is still set in this whole NBA mindset, old school mindset of let's let the players play. We'll coach them up. We'll do this triangle offense. We'll do this. We'll do this. We'll do this. Coach D is bringing a new style and a new idea to the game, and nobody knows how to handle it. So everybody right now in the playoffs is like bully ball, bully ball. We're going to make our guys play hard. We're going to make our guys, you know, we're going to make their guys react to our big man. We're going to make them, you know, bring their bench players in to play harder. And I just got to say, in the first quarter, we used 9 players. Why do we use 9 players? It was because we were rotating guys to keep them healthy and also to throw their players off on defense. And once we established that, it was over. There was no looking back after the first quarter.
Yeah, it was an impressive effort. I mean, we could talk about Chet's game all day long. And we could talk about, hey, like, fact that we're up 2-0 for the first time in a series since 2013. That's right, guys, over a decade. We could talk about that, but instead, let's talk about the unsung hero of the game, J-Dub. I mean, when you got Chet out there and Shea out there doing what they're doing, J-Dub's going to miss a little bit of the limelight, but what was really special this game for me with J-Dub is he let the moment come to him. There was never a time where he seemed like he was trying. And there were certain moments where it seemed like he might have been out of rhythm because the ball was just going away from him for large chunks of quarters. And I was wondering, like, where's he at? Like, how is he feeling? How's he going to go when it's his moment? And there was a moment, I think Herb Jones was covering Shea full court. And he did. Shea went and took it full court one time, and it was just like, you know, whatever. J-Dub, you go get it. J-Dub goes and gets it, and just goes and scores. And it was like, okay, he's been in control the entire time, and he's just kind of been waiting in the wings for his moment. This series is a series where he can do that. But we've seen moments where he comes out and he puts up 30, and he comes out right out the gate and is aggressive, and he continues to put the foot on the gas. Something about this Pelicans team, though, because of the wings, the length of the wings, the defense on the wings, it's in the zone that Willie Green has them playing and all this stuff. Like, it's really important for everybody to be patient and nobody to kind of go out and just try to do anything outside of their game. So J-Dub's game being as potent as it is, but also understanding his role, is really a combination that I haven't seen in a guy his age with the star potential that he's had, really ever. It is really, I can't think of anything to compare it to. It seems to me like more like a veteran who's played, you know, 15 years, has been a star for a while, and now understands his role, you know, but like J-Dub is here and he's still a baby.
I like to refer to, when I think about J-Dub, I like to refer to what Phil Jackson, I share this with my buddy Blake, what Phil Jackson says about Scottie Pippen. I'm not comparing their style of playing. I'm, you know, just merely comparing what coach Phil Jackson says about Scottie Pippen. If you guys want to see it, it's an interview that was done in the 90s. It was a pretty powerful interview, in my opinion, because it was the first time that anybody was saying that Michael Jordan isn't the best player on the floor, all-around best player. He's the best scorer on the floor, but he's not the best all-around player. The best all-around player on the floor was Scottie Pippen. And if you look at what Shea can do, there's no doubt that Shea is probably the best scorer in the NBA. I mean, just unbelievable what he can do. So for me, I'm looking at it like, okay, you know, Shea's the best scorer in the NBA. Yes, he has a lot more attributes like Michael Jordan did, but Shea's the best scorer in the NBA. But if you look around the best total athlete, that's rebounds, that's assists, that's getting the ball up the court. That's understanding the offense. That's playing hard defense and understanding what needs to do. You look at that, that player is J-Dub. And if you're going to have a dynasty, you're going to have a championship caliber team, you need a player that is Michael Jordan. That's going to be an automatic scorer that scores any player anywhere on the court against any player. Then you need a player like J-Dub. That's the best all around player on the floor. That's going to be able to get the rebounds, the offensive boards, the assists, the block shots, the steals, all that other stuff. Like, yes, Michael Jordan did that stuff too, but Scottie Pippen was more efficient at it. Guess what? J-Dub's more efficient at it. I'm not saying that Shea is less efficient than J-Dub, I mean, because people are going to argue with me, but I think J-Dub is one of the most efficient players in the NBA. And Scottie Pippen was the same exact way. So I'm not saying that Scottie Pippen, J-Dub should be compared to each other, but I'm saying what Phil Jackson talks about, you know, Scottie Pippen being like, it reminds me of J-Dub. And it reminds me of, that's why we need a dynasty. And then we need a player that's going to be a dominant force in the inside, whether that's, you know, Dennis Rodman or Luke Longley or, you know, whoever that player is, that's going to be that enforcer, that big time player down there. And people call it Draymond Green, but we've got a new style. And that's Chet. We don't need an enforcer like that because our style of ball doesn't need that right now. And yes, one day we will need an enforcer. But those are the type of players that like Jay Will turns into, because would you rather an enforcer that gets technical fouls, Mark? Or would you rather an enforcer that creates a defensive change or an offensive change? And those are Jay Will. Those are Isaiah Joe. Those are Kenny Hustles. Those are the guys that change the atmosphere in the game without making a horrible impact as well. And that's what I always have got to say about Dennis Rodman or Draymond Green, is that they're the best at what they do, but they also bring a horrible impact to the game. And that's why I look at our guys and I say, these guys on the bench, and that's why Coach plays 9 in the first quarter, is because he believes in these guys. He believes that these guys can make a difference. And that's what's so special about this team and so unique.
Yeah, dude. I remember Draymond Green or Zach Randolph, right? Like, I think he kind of like gave Steven Adams a little punch. You know what I mean? And so you got the agitator and you got the overreactor, right? You got to have the agitator. The overreactor will get you some stuff, but at some point, you know. But yeah, so let's talk about, in my opinion, the play of the game. And this goes to Shea. And I don't even think he made the play of the game. But third quarter, 30 seconds left, I think, right? We were going to get the ball back, but not with a lot of time left. And Shea almost did the slap the floor, right, for one more stop.
Yeah.
Instead, he turned back and he looked at the guys when he was covering at half court. And he's like, one more stop. One more stop. As intense as I've ever seen him. He was acting like that third quarter was the fourth quarter. And I think Dub got the steal. But there was this intensity, this recognition of the
moment. Was that where he screamed, J-Dub screamed?
Yeah, I think that's the moment, bro. And it was a foul, I think. I forget who the foul, but J-Dub recovered the ball. And it was just this moment of, like, understanding how to be locked in. And I get it. Like, people want to talk about what this team doesn't have. But you're starting to get the sense of the rest of the people starting to realize what they do have. And sometimes what you do have can, you know, make up for what you don't have. And what I'm starting to notice is if you can play a style of game that's what Coach D has us playing, which is just absolutely the best offense in the league, and you can have an elite defense, right? Who cares how old you are? Like, it really isn't relevant. Like, if you're talking about what matters, right, that would be really, really low. I get that traditionally winning and age go hand in hand, but so do age and good defense, age and good offense. So if you say age is correlating with winning, I would say that there's a difference between causation and correlation. And this is what we're seeing with the Thunder.
Yeah.
Winning is related to playing elite offense and elite defense, having elite strategy and elite players. That's what the Thunder are starting to see. And I get what people always say. We need a big presence in the post. to rebound, to enforce, to whatever. But when you see the game in the first quarter play out in such a dramatic fashion, where you see 13 points in a row by one player who's playing old school style, and then you say, next thing you know, he's being played off the court with the new style. It's all about what you are. Are you half glass full or half glass empty? And with this team, you have to be half glass full, because you're going to miss so many good things if you don't. And that's what it comes down to at this point, in my opinion, Dave. Like, we have to be looking more at what this team brings and say, like, if they can make up for what people perceive as weaknesses, then what? Well, what happens is you find yourself with a team that's knocking on the door of the NBA Finals. That's what you see. Because, I mean, I don't want to look past the Pelicans. We got two more wins. We got to go into that Smoothie Center, Big Easy, take care of business. Okay? But I'm looking at the Mavericks and the Clippers. Like, I don't care which one of those teams it is, bro. I do not give a fuck. Like, we're in good shape, dude. This is going to be a run.
I think what we need to do is we need to continue what we're doing. I think this team needs to continue shooting 45%+ from 3-point range. I think it's important that we see numbers like this from Shea: 33 points, 2 steals, 5 assists, 3 rebounds. Like, those are huge numbers. He's efficient. J-Dub, 21 points, 7 assists, 1 steal, 5 rebounds. Chet, 26 points, 2 blocks, 7 rebounds, 1 assist. And, you know, we don't necessarily need our bench players to play well, but man, it makes it feel better when these guys play well. Put it like that. All right. Aaron Wiggins doing what he did last night was insane. And he's still like the ace in the hole that we don't use a lot right now, because he's still coming into his game in the playoffs, and his 6 points and that move that he did on CJ McCollum was unbelievable. Threw him on his ass. It was unbelievable. Isaiah Joe stepped up, big shots. Cason Wallace had a big shot, but he had more big stops on defense. Like, he is a defensive presence. That's really crazy. But one guy I want to focus on really quickly, Marcus, is Josh Giddey. Like, he was leaned on to do some things last night that he wasn't necessarily used to. They put Trey Murphy on him because of the switching going on. So coach put him in the corner. He put him on the other side, because when you have a player like Trey Murphy's ability to play defense playing Josh, you want to really kind of isolate that player and let the rest of the team do their thing. Because if you're not setting screens, Trey Murphy's going to help out. It's going to give Josh Giddey wide open layups, which he did last night. Josh Giddey got to the hole. He played some great defense. And again, for me, 13 points, 3 assists, 6 rebounds. His rebounding was huge, because his defensive rebounds were something like, there's 3 or 4 guys down low, all bodying up, all in the bodies. Everybody's about to get it. The Pelicans are about to get the rebound, and Josh will come and swipe it and rump the court. All 6 rebounds. Look back, go see him. Those are huge moments for this team when Josh was able to get that rebound and get it up the court. I think these are the type of moments and the type of plays that we need from these lesser guys in order to be successful. Yes, we got minutes from these other guys on the bench, but the real minutes came from our starters, and we were able to find the bench players that created the most damage in the small amount of time in that fourth and third quarter. And it was crazy to see how coach was able to really isolate those players and make them even more of a factor. And I'm excited, man. I'm excited for Aaron Wiggins. I'm excited for Josh Giddey and Shea and all these guys that are playing really well right now. And it's fun to see.
Yeah, the way Josh rebounds in traffic reminds me so much of the way that people go get the ball in footy, and the way that he rises up and he actually is looking and searching out the contact with his body, with his shoulders, right? Because, like, if he wasn't going to find that contact, it's like he'd almost fall down. Because when you jump expecting contact and it's not there, it's like somebody pulls the chair out from you. And the way I see Josh jumping is searching for contact,
so true,
and clearing out space and understanding how to use his advantage of his body, his shoulders, his arm reach, and just create a big wide space for him to be able to go up and get the ball. It's really impressive. It's really fundamentally something that is a foundation of our team. And when Josh gets the defensive rebound, he almost always gets it in stride. And when he gets the ball in stride, the whole court is flipped. And it just it reminds me of like a pick six kind of in football, where like there's really not a lot between him and the bucket, and he can figure out what he wants to do. But teams, when they're on, when they're backpedaling and it's like you've got Shea and Giddy coming at you, what the fuck are you going to do? And that's the situation we find ourselves with it. Like Josh can turn a missed shot into feeling like a turnover and have teams out of position with just putting the ball on the floor in stride because of his understanding of how to, you know, see angles and see the ball coming off the rim and go get it. So he's really a critical piece to it. Him getting out there and putting up 13 points is incredible.
I want to add on to that too about AFL and footy is that one thing I love about, you know, getting to know that game is the open spaces, how they throw balls into the open spaces, how they run to the open spaces. And if you see Josh, when he gets the ball, he doesn't run to the defender, right? Because running to the defender, like, it cuts out your vision. And this is again something I've learned watching footy and seeing how these guys they don't run towards the defender. They run to the open space. Why do you run to the open space? Well, first of all, if you get to that open space, you get a 360 vision of the court. If you have a 360 vision of the court, you have the best understanding of where the ball is going. Now, this is something that you learn in footy, is the second you get that ball, right? If you have traffic, you got fucking traffic. You work it out, right? But if you can get to that open space, that you can see where everybody's at and where people are running and sprinting on the field, you get a better understanding of where you need to get the ball, right? Well, The Rock is the same thing. We're sitting here watching the guys on the court, and Josh Giddey is getting that ball to the open court. Now, he only had last night, he only had 3 assists, but I'm telling you guys, it wasn't that he wasn't getting the ball to the right places. It was the fact that he was getting the ball to the place, the hockey assist, right? The assist before the assist. Okay. Josh Giddey understood that you weren't going to see his stats on paper, right? You were going to see the way that he played on the court. And that's what Josh brought last night that was so special, that really was a difference in the way he played the game one. He wasn't shut down like he was shut down in game one. This game, he was able to run on the open court and get to those open spaces and create shots for everybody else. And that's what I love about Josh and what he did. And watching that AFL footy context of what Josh and seeing how he's growing and maturing in the league, like I wouldn't want to trade Josh for a top 5 pick this year. I just wouldn't. Like, people are like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm serious, guys. Josh's game is still developing, and he's a 6'9 point guard. And if you look at through the history of the league, how many 6'9 point guards can handle the rock like him, that can get up the court like him, that can play the power forward position when he needs to, or small forward position, or shooting guard position when he's needed? Like, Josh can do it all. And why would you ever want to get a glue guy like that and take him and trade him to a team unless that player doesn't want to be there anymore? So I love Josh. I can't wait to see what he can do, you know, the rest of the playoffs, because I think this is the beginning of something great.
Dude, this whole playoffs is lit, bro. This is great. You know, being up 2-0, nice feeling. We see Boston drop one to Miami. I don't want to say that they can call him daddy, but we'll get to that later. If it happens, dude, if it happens, that'll very be disappointing soon. From Boston, but that could be a daddy situation coming on, Dave. We're going to have to see Mari. We'll have to get the paternity tests in, but it looks like Jimmy Butler could be Jason Tatum's daddy. All right, so Dave, let me ask you, what's going on in the rest of the league that you want to talk about?
Well, I think we're keeping a very close eye on obviously finishing this game, because we don't want to know what everything else and start planning for the future until we can end this stuff. But it is kind of interesting that the Clippers and Dallas now are tied. You've got Denver is just putting a whoop on Los Angeles, which I did see, but I thought Los Angeles would make it respectful and at least keep it tied for a little bit of the series.
They almost did. That was a hell of a shot by Murray.
And the Suns have disappointed, bro. Like, I really thought the Suns were going to take a game away from the Timberwolves, but man, it looks like the Timberwolves are on overdrive right now.
So we're going to see a situation where on the other side of the Western Conference bracket, right, the Timberwolves and the Nuggets, this is what we wanted to avoid. We wanted to avoid being the team that had to go against that team too early, because let's face it, they're going to beat each other up.
Yep.
I would say that as as semifinals, conference semifinals, that could be one of the most classic series last decade, maybe further back too, because these are two heavyweights that are going to go 12 rounds. I can't wait to watch that series play out. And on the other side, like you said, having the Mavericks and the Clippers tied up at one just makes it fun because, yeah, we're not going to look past what we've got to do. But it's interesting to know that New Orleans is a much better road team for some reason than they are a home team. So we're going to have, you know, our work cut out for us. But I would say that out of the teams left, they have the least amount of home court advantage out there. So that should play well for us coming up. I think the game is Saturday. I like these long breaks for the team. I hate them for my personal self. I love the games back.
Yeah.
But we'll be back Saturday. I think the game starts at 3, Dave. So maybe we'll see what happens. Yeah. Maybe we'll get back on here and talk a little bit more if we think about some shit we missed, Dave. Is there any? What about the play of the game? Can you think of anything specific that we missed? I mean, I know after last one, I was like, how did we miss that giant Chet block and then J-Dub finding Isaiah Joe, you know, to take the lead? You know, there's certain moments in that game that were just so epic. This game had less of them, but there were. Like, what was it for you?
I don't know if there's one particular play, but it was the defense that we played. We had so many steals, I felt like, so many deflections. We had 5 steals. I thought we had way more. But there was moments that it was just like, boom, we shut their shit out right away. Like they would go on like 5 minutes sprouts without putting a bucket on. Like our defense to me is the thing that stands out the most right now. And I get excited about, if I wanted to say that there was a play of the game, it's that moment that J-Dub got the steal and he's laying down after getting fouled and just screaming. Like there was a moment there that I said that there's no longer this young team that these guys are saying young team, because Reggie Bush and Crawford or Crawford, whatever his name is sitting Miller. In the booth. And they're both sitting, Reggie Miller, both saying, oh my God, what the fuck is happening? Because they're all starting to realize that this is their first real time calling this game, these guys. And they're saying, this is not a normal team. This is not normal. And they're walking away. And I bet you money right now that they're putting money on the Thunder, because they all recognize that the Thunder is for real. And it's not just one of those Trump things. Like Reggie Miller is going to go back and talk. Everybody's like, man, that team's cold. That team is cold. So stay tuned, guys.
Stay fucking tuned. This is it, guys. Finals run. Here we go.